Calgary's new rock alternative, X92.9. That is music from The Cult, Dirty Little Rock Star. And across from me now, Ian Asprey of said band. How are you, Ian?
Hello, sir.
You were just talking about that song as it was playing.
Yes.
And there was no guitar before, and then...
We started off with kind of a bass line and drum beat. It was like just... I think it was just a rip-off of Joy Division, to be honest with you.
Well, not a bad band to rip off.
I don't know if you saw Control. Mm-hmm. Did you get to see that?
It's amazing. Antoine Corbin film, yeah.
I really wanted to sing, and still want to sing, New Dawn Fades. And then I heard the version that the Killers... Oh, no, it was Moby sang it with them, or...
Oh, did Moby do that? Yeah.
It was shocking. You know, and I really wanted to... That was my thing, was say, I did The Doors. I would love to sing with the surviving members of Joy Division.
Yeah.
Because I think I could nail that.
Do you come across the Peter Hooks? And, well, Peter Hook you'd mentioned, but...
Peter used to be around a lot. Pete was more of like the rocker in the band. That was his kind of thing. He had that stance, wide leg stance, bass just worn down low. Pete was always the rocker. He had a band called Revenge.
Yeah.
I think he's doing something with Manny.
Okay.
Right now.
And...
From Primal Scream.
Oh, yeah.
Some trivia for you.
There you go. Nice.
Who's actually at our show at the 100 Club with Andrew Innes from Primal Scream.
Sweet.
Great fraternity.
Now, I saw back in 1990, you did a festival. You were in charge of organizing Gathering of the Tribes in San Francisco.
Sir. Gathering of Tribes.
And a lot of people credit that as being sort of the inspiration for...
Everything.
Yeah, Lollapalooza.
Everything postmodernist, pretty much. I mean, you know, Lollapalooza, the Tibetan Freedom Concert, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, just... my whole vision was like in the late... 80s was pretty much that if you're in your 20s, you weren't getting a look in. It was all about Springsteen and, I don't know, the Stones and Eric Clapton and, you know, Phil Collins. And, I mean, even bands like, you know, NWA weren't being heard. Public Enemy weren't being heard. If it was urban music, it was hip-hop, it wasn't being played. Then you had the whole kind of like new age wave of folk music, like the Indigo Girls and Michelle Shocked and all that. Then you had all the rock and roll bands and punk bands, but a lot of the alternative scene wasn't really on the map. And the whole vision was like try and create a Monterey pop style event with social political content. All the environmental groups invited, Greenpeace, Queer Nation. I mean, just everybody was invited, Native Americans. And I mean, like the first band to say yes to was Soundgarden. The original bill had Soundgarden, Ice-T. I mean, you actually look at the bill now, half of those people ended up playing on Lollapalooza. But my intention was not to create a commercial event. It was altruistic. It was about the community. It was about advertising ourselves. And of course, you know, somebody got hold of it and made a load of money out of it.
Right.
Perry Farrell bought his third house in Malibu, I guess. Yeah. I've been living off it ever since, you know. All respect and love to Perry Farrell, but, you know, disrespect to me for not being a capitalist pig. But again, you know, it was the foundation of all that. I ended up in Tibet. That's where I ended up.
Yeah.
I didn't end up in Malibu. I ended up in, you know, the Potala Palace, having to chase off Chinese spies, but that's another story.
Chasing off Chinese spies?
Yeah, I had a Chinese spy in the Potala Palace asking me if I had images of the Dalai Lama and what I thought China's policies in Tibet. And basically, if I said I have an image of the Dalai Lama on me, which I did have, I could have been thrown in jail.
Wow.
So,
and not a pleasant jail experience.
No.
In that part of the world.
And then there's a whole story with the Beastie Boys and the Tibetan Freedom Concert and how they didn't want us to play it. And I said, if you don't let me play it, then I'll publicly embarrass you guys by telling, you know, going out and saying that I've actually been to Tibet. And the only artist who's performed at the Tibetan Freedom Concert that had been to Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
If you're just tuning in, it's X929. We're talking to Ian Asprey of The Cult. And you now call New York home. But for a long time, there's been a Canadian connection. A long time. But what is the Canadian connection?
Romance.
Okay.
romance and, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Hamilton.
Hamilton, Ontario.
Family. I've got a lot of family here.
And then produce some of the music in Vancouver. And
Vancouver seems to be great. I mean, I think, you know, Holly Mountain was conceived there, and it's sort of like the zenith of my writing right now. And it's actually a jump-off point for where I want to go in the future.
Well, and it's also, I think Canada's probably a country that's embraced the cult.
Well, also, you know, the thing about Canada is, to me, it's like Canada's in a cultural renaissance right now, especially musically. I mean, it's unbelievable what's coming out of Canada, from Black Mountain to Feist to, obviously Wolf Parade,
Montreal.
Lady Hawk, Metric, Broken Social Scene, you know, blah, 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 Arcade Fire, et cetera.
You know your music, that's great.
It's amazing. The Clicks.
yeah,
who are playing with
who
us tonight.
For you, yeah.
Who are an incredible band, and Canada's on fire right now.
Yeah, it's very nice. And this weekend is the center. Do you want to stick around if we play one more song?
Sure.
And chat a little more.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll play. We'll go back to the album Electric Love Removal Machine. It's The Cult. It's on X929.